So there's Joelle, and then there's the organization. And man, did I not like the way they have handled this, and specifically yesterday. I really lost a lot of respect for Nick Nurse as a front man for the organization. I lost. Why, Joe? Because I'm going to play some answers for you. And
I disagree with you on this. And I'll listen open-mindedly.
Sure.
I felt as though Nick Nurse yesterday was put in a nearly impossible position where he didn't like what Joelle was, you know, doing. He didn't like the fact that he was being informed that Joelle was unavailable. It almost felt like he was as ticked as we are. Now, maybe I'm imagining that. Maybe I'm reading into that because I am so ticked about it. But I find it interesting that you don't feel that
way. This isn't new to Nick Nurse. So you look back to when the Raptors, when he was the head coach, won the championship. Yep. Kawhi Leonard was doing load management and rehabbing a knee injury all throughout. He played 60 games that regular season.
But, Devin, but what did Kawhi do that April, May, and June?
He played the most minutes out of anyone and dominated in the postseason.
That's my
point. But I'm saying this could be a similar strategy to what the 2018-2019 Toronto Raptors did.
Well, I'll agree that there's a strategy. What I have a problem with is I don't think he's, and here's the thing. And
there's
this
no way you don't start the year.
Yeah, John, and look, we'll play the audio in a second, but I'll just tee this up by saying this. I don't think Joel Embiid is missing games 1, 2, and 3, at least, because they're trying to have him healthy for April, May, and June.
There's no way.
I think he's missing games 1, 2, and 3, at least, because he is not currently healthy.
Exactly.
And that has to be, he didn't play in the preseason, and he's not ready.
It has to be he is not 100% healthy.
Or near 100%.
You wait an entire offseason. There's no way you deliberate whether or not you're playing in the Olympics. You know, if it's going to set you back so much that you won't be able to play in the season opener. Playing in the season opener really does matter.
Well, and here, Devin, here's the other thing I'll say to really push back on what you said. So, 82 games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know Joel has come out publicly and said he's, I forget the exact phrasing, but probably not going to play back-to-backs or will not. Okay, so let's just say he plays no back-to-backs. 82 games minus 15, we're at 67.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's take out the first three games of the season we know he's already been ruled out of. Now we're at 64.
Mm-hmm.
Before anything else, no new injuries, he plays game four, he plays the rest of the season other than back-to-backs, he's already down to 64 games. Like, there is a great chance, in my opinion, he plays in the 40s this year.
Yeah, but I think that's the intention.
But that's a disaster because
nothing else has worked.
But James,
he hasn't worked playing in the 60s and the 70s. Like, that has not worked for him. He has not made it through the playoffs. Why not try something different?
But here's, you'll be a 7 seed, maybe.
Answer my question real quick. Why not try something different when Embiid has yet to make it through the playoffs? Why not?
Well, see, I don't love the nature of your question because I'm going to answer, but I want to make a statement before I do.
You're sending a message.
I think he's injured. So I'm not saying don't play him less for load management purposes during the regular season. What I'm saying is my antenna tells me he is an injured athlete.
I think he's always going to be an injured athlete.
But he wasn't previously.
Injured now, you're saying.
He would be healthy.
Would not be
he would be healthy
out.
Until he would get injured. And then he would
but
come.
He's always got stuff, man.
Well, like,
it's the wear and tear.
But the wear and tear has gotten worse.
Of course it has. He's 30, about to be 31
or whatever.
That's
not much old worse. In NBA terms.
Hold on. It's not much worse for a 300-pound guy.
That is, man.
So what was your question? I want to answer because I pulled.
My question is, why not try something different?
They should try something different.
Well, they
are. They should try something different. But when they go to an extreme level where, if I had to guess, he'll play 45 to 52 games, that to me is too extreme.
Trying something different is not sending a message to the rest of the team.
But James, they lost in the first round last year in part because he missed like 2.5 months.
Guys, that was a unique situation.
James, if he plays 45 games, they're a 7 seed.
But if he plays 45 games throughout the course of the season, they play together more. It's not like he's not ramping up for the playoffs right after coming off surgery, all that stuff.
Yeah, talent around him. Last season, they lose when he was out because it was him and Tyrese Maxey.
Paul George helps. Drummond helps. But here's the other argument. No one's going to convince me if he plays 35 games entering mid-March instead of 60 games at that point entering mid-March that he's not going to get hurt in mid-March
he
anyway.
Might.
He always gets hurt.
He does. But the point is, he always gets hurt when he plays 60 or more games. Every single freaking time. Let's find out what happens when he plays 45. Like, why not?
Okay, fine. But play the beginning of the season. The message that you're sending to us, the message that you're sending to his teammates is that he is broken
what
down
if his
already.
Risk of getting he's injured again is much higher already. Because he's not ready to play yet.
Exactly.
It's
he's ramping up.
Right, but James, the Nick Nurse should have said that.
Look, I'm not
say it.
I have no disagreement between the way the Sixers organization
handled poorly.
Is messaging it and handling
all right.
I'm just saying purely on Embiid, I'm willing to try something different.
Okay, I understand your point. Let's listen to Nick Nurse yesterday. By the way, it's 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. So I think people know, but if you don't, no Joel tonight, no Paul George. Paul George, it makes a ton of sense. He got injured recently. He apparently will be back pretty soon. Joel, we don't know. We just know that the Sixers announced he'll miss at least the first three games. We'll see how much longer it goes. Nick Nurse was asked a series of questions about it yesterday. For the most part, I did not like his answers. You be the judge. We'll play four pieces of audio. Here's Nick Nurse on the Joel situation.
Was there like any setback that he had with the Olympics? Because he was able to come back, and now all of a sudden he's, you know, ramping up.
There's been no setbacks. No, we've, again, he's really active. He's lost some weight. He's out on the court, et cetera. Just kind of sticking with our plan of making sure we're getting him in a really, really good place before we get him playing live.
All right. I do not believe that he told the truth when he said there's no setback. I just don't believe it. John, do you believe it?
I don't know. No, because I am absolutely certain if he were healthy, he would be playing.
I agree with you.
I am absolutely certain.
I agree with that.
For the start of a season, if you're healthy, you're out.
For the first,
on the court.
Listen, you can pick your spots of when to play him, but I don't think they would not play him the first three games.
No way. Maybe
you play the first two and sit out the
third. There's no way you say, hey, he's out the first week,
guys. I don't think he's healthy.
It's the first week?
And the coach didn't want to admit it yesterday. That's what I think happened. Let's listen to more. Here's Nick Nurse. I thought this was a terrific question. I thought it was a bad answer.
You have guys right now. Joel already said he doesn't want to play in back. To back, that's missing 15 games. You're taking it lightly with PG as well. Is there any concern that, you know, you guys aren't going to have enough continuity by the time the postseason comes around, or you may not be in the seed that you would prefer heading into the playoffs?
Not yet. I mean, listen, I think that we're being really smart and sticking to the plan with Joel. PG obviously wasn't. Him not playing was certainly not part of the plan, right? He had an injury in a game, so we're managing that now. Absolutely respect how good both conferences are. East is really deep, West is really good. I mean, going out there and winning ball games is going to be a challenge, not only for us, but for everyone every night. But we got some depth and we got some experience and we got some good players. We're going to go out there and see what we look like.
How can the answer be not yet?
We're going to see what we got some players on the bench we're going to throw out there what we look like.
So here's the thing. I think Nick Nurse seems like a great person. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a credit to Philadelphia sports, but I hear that answer and he's not keeping it real. And I know you can make the case he's got to be the general of that team, that group, those 15 players. And he's got to not put out there to the world or to them in their brains, hey, guys, we might, you know, lag without Joel. Okay, I understand that. But you also have millions of fans that are smart enough to know if Joel Embiid misses 35 games, you're not going to have as high a seed as you'd otherwise have. You're just not. And for him to not say the answer to that question is yes, there's a concern that if he misses a bunch of games, you're a lesser team. It's just foolishness. John, we all know when we talk to Sirianni, when Howie Roseman's on our show, when any of these coaches do interviews or press conferences, we know they always walk a fine line between what they really think and what they're willing to say, what they want to give to the public and what they want to hear their players hear, what they say to the public and what they tell the players privately. Like, we always know there's a fine line, but don't tell the public there's no concern that if he doesn't miss, that if he misses a bunch of games, it'll hurt their seeding. He is, when healthy, one of the five best players in the world. Of course it'll hurt their seeding. They were just a freaking 7 seed last year and had to face a good Knicks team and got bounced in 6 games, which was a lot harder when they used to be a top 3 or 4 seed and they face a bum team. I mean, come on. When I say that I lost respect, that's not keeping it real.
No.
And Nick Nurse had a responsibility upon coming into this organization and for the duration of his tenure, however long it is, because of the failures of Ben Simmons and Doc Rivers and Joel James Embiid Harden. In the past and James Harden and all on and on and on and all those guys and all the nonsense they pulled, we as a fan base needed somebody. Because Josh Harris doesn't do this as an owner. We needed somebody to be, you ready for it? An adult. Someone be a freaking adult. And I do not like that answer at all from Nick Nurse. I think it's disrespectful to the fan base.
And it is not keeping it real. And Joe, when was the last time you remember a star not starting the season?
Chase Utley.
When he was healthy.
Nope.
Oh, when he was healthy. Probably never.
It's never happened. Yeah. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
This is preposterous that we would be expected to believe that Joel is that Joel's healthy while not playing.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. And don't try to tell me it does.
I'm with you. All right, so I want to play 2 more pieces of audio here in Nick Nurse. But first, Ross, so you asked... One of you asked, I think it was you, Ross, like, okay, the whys of why I was thinking. So, Ross, what's your reaction so far based on what you've heard?
It's funny because I can see where John's coming from in terms of the frustration from Nick Nurse. You know, I think he knows that he is the only voice, but he can't come out and say the things that he wants to say. He's in a tough spot, Joe. You want him to keep it real and say that he's concerned about the seeding, but he's not going to say that. He's not going to say, yeah, I'm concerned about the seeding before they even play their first game. That's not a good... The same reason we all want Joel to play in the opener and the excitement for the season, what a bummer that would be if the coach
But there's
like, yeah.
a way to hedge the answer where you acknowledge the reality that if he misses time, it could hurt.
Without saying, it
damns us to being damned.
No, you're right. But I
so
would
why
also,
didn't
these,
he do that?
Because
like...
he didn't have the courage to keep it real. That's why he didn't do it. Because he's got to answer to an owner that probably doesn't want him to say it, a superstar that probably doesn't want him to say it.
Amen on that one,
right?
Joel.
Right?
100%.
But there's 5 to 10 million Sixers fans that we know what the truth is.
I am the type of like NBA fan and Sixers fan that I don't really dig in until like after the NFL mm-hmm. season, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. Is it bad for me to say all I care about is that he's healthy and 100% for the playoffs?
No, but and that's what James has been saying. It's not an unreasonable point, but my point, Ross, and I think John shares this sentiment, is if he only plays 40 games to try to have him healthy for the playoffs, it will put them in a very compromised position come playoff time.
Why?
Three reasons. One,
who cares if they're the seventh seed?
No, it matters. So three reasons. One, you lacking home court advantage is not good. That's one. Two, you do face tougher competition when you're a 7 seed than a 2 seed.
Just in the first round.
Yeah, but even in the second round, you can face a 4 instead of a 2 or a 3.
Right. Okay. With the back-to-backs,
they're
not going to be a top 2 or 3 seed.
If you have a healthy Joel Embiid, plus Maxey, plus Paul George, and an improved bench, you could be.
If they don't play any back-to-backs?
And Ross, that's their choice. Here's the third reason, and this is a biggie. Continuity matters a ton in basketball. And the best example I can give everybody, the Miami Heat, when LeBron signed there, of course, went to 4 NBA finals in 4 years. Tremendous. But in their first 17 games together, they were 9-8. I mean, they had 2 all-timers. They had Bosh, 9-8. Now, look, they got it together fairly fast, obviously. They got to the finals the first year. But they also played a ton of games together. We could look it up, 70, 75, whatever. This group, Paul George, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, plus this whole new bench, if they only play 30 games together, that's not good for being ready in April. I've seen it enough in basketball.
So what's the magic number then?
A lot more than that. I mean,
how many do they have to play together for you to be comfortable?
68, 72. Well,
you want Joel Embiid to play 68 games this year.
No,
I'm just saying, though, because you understand it has to be one or the other. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. Joel Embiid is either going to be, probably not going to be healthy anyway, but either you do your best to get Joel healthy for the playoffs, or you prioritize playing them together and hope for the best. It's one or the other.
No, that's fair, James. Look, if I had to give you a number, I'll say 65.
It's way too many games.
But he's not going to play. But he's not going
to play
65.
I don't want him to play 65. It's never held up when he's played that many games.
And they won't be gelled as a team come April, and they'll lose.
You got to take one or the other.
No, you're not wrong. I understand your point. All right. Look, all of this for everyone on the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Also, two different Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor the survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away. We all hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. The two poll questions. Number one, do you think the Sixers knew prior to yesterday that Embiid would miss tonight's season opening game? Yes or no?
Of course.
Yeah, of course the answer is of course. Second, and that's where it's offensive that they announced it 32 hours before, you know, the start of the season. That's ridiculous. Because if he was going to miss one game, sure. You're going to miss a week? Come on, you know. Second question, what's your level of excitement for the start of the Sixers season? Very excited, mildly excited, not excited. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. More on the MVP.
That's such an unfair question.
Why?
Because no one's even playing. Can you believe this? You look at the depth chart. You got Paul George. Oh, he's out. You got Joel Embiid. Oh, he's out.
Yeah.
These are our stars. These are our stars,
Matt,
our two stars. It's the start of the season. The season has not begun. All they've done is practice. Wow,
not
it's just
him.
So bad.
All right.
And the scary dance in the streets did sort of look like mannequins. And you know...
Bringing it back to the ultimate fear.
Full circling.
Here we go. Back to the mannequins.
Are you scared of dolls? Because mannequins are pretty much just big dolls.
I think maybe the sheer size of the mannequin.
Oh, yeah.
It is a doll, but it's so much bigger. It's a human-sized doll.
Human-sized doll. It's ridiculous. By the way, Turkey Bowl, it's next month, and this month you can vote at 94WIP.com for which game should be featured this year on Turkey Bowl. It's going to either be the night before Thanksgiving or on Thanksgiving. Turkey Bowl presented by Cheney University, empowering minds, cultivating leaders, and shaping futures. There are 14 different teams. 7 different games that are eligible to have Turkey Bowl this year, right here on WIP, where their game is on the station. So get voting at 94WIP.com. You can see the entire list of teams and vote away. Let's go to Tom in Abington right now. Ross Tucker with us as well. A little bit of Eagles, a lot of Sixers today. Good morning, Tom.
Yo, gang. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great, Tom.
Hey, John, I'm surprised to hear you talking coming out of the break there. I thought you would have been under the desk.
Fear. John's got nothing to fear but fear itself.
And mannequins.
And mannequins. It pervades his brain.
You guys happen to catch wind of what happened on Go Birds Radio with Elliot Truett Park?
Oh, man. Get ready for this one.
What happened?
I know where you're going. Honestly, it might be the worst Elliot moment in the history of his career on radio.
Please tell.
Up until 2 weeks ago, he thought that whenever anybody said Mary and Joseph, he thought that was one person, and he thought they were saying Marianne Joseph.
What? Her name was Marianne Joseph. He had no idea that there was a Joseph involved in any of this.
You got to be kidding.
I swear on my life.
Wait,
it came up on Go Birds Radio.
Not even just a first name, last name. He thought it was one.
He thought her name
was
Marianne. Jesus' mother was named Marianne Joseph, and that was her name.
Oh,
yep. Marianne.
So great.
Elliot the heathen.
That is
unbelievable, right?
And Elliot
That's unbelievable.
Book reading. He should read a book once in a while.
Yeah.
That's astounding. All right. Tom, what do you got on the sports scene here, man?
Your town, your team, your second rounders, right?
Well, maybe not even.
Yeah, it is just, it's a disgrace. I don't trust anything that comes out of that organization. But, Joe, you said that, you know, if they had said dump in Embiid, then we'd have 7 years of mediocrity. Is that what you said?
Well, you don't know exactly how many it would be. You know it would, in all likelihood, be anywhere between 4 to, 10.
10.
Yeah.
Sure. And we're going to get that anyway once Joel is, you know, completely broken down. But it goes back to me, my frustration is born out of expectations. So if they had started over, I wouldn't have the expectations because I know that it's going to take a little while to build the team back up. Instead, they just continue to run this bum out here year after year who's going to break down with a new cast that he has no continuity with. It's the same thing over and
no,
over.
No, I understand. You're not wrong there. Tom, give me an answer, a one-word song.
Well, to sum up the Sixers organization, I'd say dumb.
Dumb. You got it. Who's that by? Anyone
Nirvana.
Know? Okay, there you go. So Ross, weird year in the NFL. Let's talk about this for a sec, because we're all trying to figure out how good the Eagles are. You know, how good they are ties into how good the league is. Looks like Detroit's good, but strange division, strange NFC, strange NFL. What do you make of, do you consider it a big opportunity for the Eagles because things have been so all over the place, or what do you make of how they fit into the puzzle of the NFL this year?
I think the Eagles have a really good opportunity because the team that most of us would have thought coming into the year was the best team in the NFC, the 49ers, they're 3-4. I mean, think about what it's like for them coming off a Super Bowl loss, yeah. And they've been in the NFC Championship game year in, year out. They're 3-4. They just lost their receiver, Ayuk, for the year with a torn ACL. They're in a bad way. So when you look at the complexion right now, of the NFC, the best teams right now, the Lions and the Vikings and the Packers, all in the same division. I don't know. Do any of those teams super scare you?
No.
In other words, I think there's a golden opportunity for the Eagles to get to an NFC championship game, probably against Detroit, but it could be against one of these other teams. And then who knows what happened in that one game. I think the Lions are good, but they're not like – they're not unbeatable. The Eagles could easily beat the Lions. I mean, the Eagles probably have more talent than the Lions.
So I definitely talented on both fronts. Ben Johnson is such an incredible and exciting, diverse playmaker. I love watching what they do with their offense. Are we ever going to get to where our offense looks unexpected, Ross? Like, remember once upon a time?
I don't know that Kellen Moore – I mean, I think Kellen Moore is pretty good. I don't know that he'll get where Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson is. He's pretty special.
Ross, Kellen Moore doesn't have the quarterback to do it, right? Come on.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
I would say that because I watch him play, and I see that Jalen Hurts isn't good enough. He used to be. He no longer is.
What do you think people said about Jared Goff?
No, I understand. Listen, if Jalen Hurts can figure
Goff
it out.
Jared Goff is now a star. There are people who say Jared Goff is the most dependable quarterback going.
Well, he's in the MVP race.
I understand.
Yeah, because this guy stunk.
I
thought he was unsalvageable. But you get him in the right system with a really creative, brilliant offensive coordinator, and it looks like this.
Look, Russ, here's where I'm at on Jalen. I'm down on him. I'm not out on him. But I think they're getting diminishing returns. You know, I give him tremendous credit, as he deserves, on Sunday for two phenomenal plays. The one where he stood tall in the pocket, delivered the ball to A.J. Brown. Great play,
incredible,
great pass,
incredible.
Great toughness, great touch, great play. And then, you know, the one where he escaped the pocket where it looked like he was going to be sacked and it looked like the Carson play from 2017. Tremendous. Awesome. But I just don't see enough consistency for me to feel that he's anything more than an average quarterback. And it bums me out because I really think if they had a pretty darn good quarterback, not necessarily top three, but if they had a pretty darn good quarterback this year, I think the Eagles could contend for the Super Bowl, but I don't think they have it.
Well, open your mind to the possibility that he can continue to grow.
Wait, my mind's
on
open.
A weekly basis.
I just think it's unlikely.
Within this offense, the offense, just like the offense can look better next week if they run better plays, if they have a better rhythm,
they're running pretty good plays. He's not completing on some of them.
That's right.
So,
Greg Cosell blasted.
Yes, he did.
And he goes through the film.
Yeah,
I mean, he
just simply looks at the film.
He blasted. Jalen Hurts' performance. Yep. Anyway, Ross, go ahead.
Well, the point I want to make is that it's six games into a new system and a new coordinator again and a new play caller again. He has made strides the last couple weeks in terms of not turning it over, which I think is the most important thing. There's still a long way to go until they would play in that playoff game.
That's right.
Against Detroit. You would let people get better, people get worse, people get more comfortable in systems. For right now, I'll take him playing pretty good and not turning it over, and let's hope that they can just continue to build on this November, December,
sure.
And that by January,
no, that's fair.
Maybe he's, because he does not, the thing for me is like, when guys are open and he doesn't throw the ball to them, I guess I wonder, does he not see them?
Right.
Or is there some reason why he doesn't want to throw? Like, these fourth downs are great. How about just throwing it to the wide-open guy on third?
On third.
Down? Amen. Yeah, there.
Totally. Totally agree.
But right. I do think he has a chance to get better. He's left himself a lot of room for improvement.
He
and
does.
There probably is an answer that makes sense.
All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, you know, the many interviews we do, not only on today's show, but all through the week, you can always go back and get them on the Odyssey app. I just want to remind everyone, that Odyssey app is, like, legit, legit. And not only can you hear the shows, and not only our show, all the shows live, you can always go back. So, you know, let's say at some point you got to hop into work and you miss the Sirianni interview or the Jaws interview or Ray Diddy or Ross Tucker or Seth Joyner or Brandon Graham or Jason Kelsey. They're all there every week. So get the Odyssey app, listen live when you can. Listen back when you need to, and fill up your content with it. It's good stuff. Let's go to Nick in Wilmington. Nick, good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, Nick.
What's happening, buddy?
Absolutely. So I guess talking a little Eagles here, I couldn't agree more on the Jalen thing. I do believe, which is disappointing because I thought coming into it he was going to take a big step with Kellen. But I think if we lose in the postseason, which it's probably going to be, you know, maybe we win a playoff game and probably lose, it's going to be because of a Sirianni decision, or it's going to be because of Jalen not getting the ball to his playmakers, getting the ball out, holding it. But the most disappointing thing is, and I heard what Ross said, you know, I'm all for let's wait. It's early. It's a new system. But the problem is we're not – it's the same thing. Not trying the under center thing, what Jaws talks about. Couldn't agree more. We're not trying these things. Like, it's the same thing over and over.
And
again.
I think, Nick, I think a lot of us say the reason they don't do it is because they don't think he would be good at it. You know what I mean? That's the conclusion.
Or is comfortable doing it.
Or maybe that's essentially the same
likely,
thing.
More likely, I think, is he might not want to do it.
Yeah, but he wouldn't want to do it if he didn't think he'd be as good at it. You know what I mean? It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I agree, and I think going off
how
that,
do you know?
How do I know what?
How? Why do you expect like that's
because
why
if Jalen Hurts
he's
thought
not under center,
if like, Jalen Hurts thought he'd be good at it, they would do it.
I think Jalen can be good at being under center as compared to being in shotgun. I don't think it matters the way you think it matters.
Well, riddle me this one. Why don't they do it?
I don't know. Okay. I think they should. I think they should do more of it.
I think everyone thinks they should, but they don't. Like, what other explanation is there?
Listen, he's not as comfortable.
And I think we'll see more of it.
Oh, John. When do you stop saying that?
I think we saw more of it. I think we will gradually continue to see more.
But they did two more plays the other day? They went from like a play a game to three plays? Something like that? Whatever it was minimal. Nick, what do you got quickly on the 76ers?
Yeah, I think kind of the optimistic hope of, like, we'll see more of it is the same thing we've done for the past, like, 8 years, whatever it's been with the Sixers, of, like, oh, it's going to be different. We paid all this money
just
for
just like
a
we thought we wouldn't run the football enough, and we just ran the ball flat against the Giants. So I appreciate that things can change.
Well, changes can happen. Nick, give me a great answer, a one-word song. This is for the Sarah Silverman tickets.
Yeah, I'll go Yellow by Coldplay.
You got it, Nick. Appreciate that call, man. So, all right, let's listen to more Nick Nurse. I had referenced earlier that I lost, you know, some respect for Nick Nurse as a front man and leader of the Sixers because I didn't like the way he answered the questions yesterday. I thought it was a lot of nonsense. I didn't think he kept it real, and I think he has a responsibility. Look, he's got a lot of responsibilities. He's got to manage up Josh Harris. He's got to manage out Joel Embiid. I don't know if that's out, but you got to manage Joel Embiid. But you also got to manage the relationship and organization and that you as an individual have with a fan base. That's not nothing. You know, like, it's not everything, but it's not nothing. And frankly, it's a big thing. It really is. So I thought a lot of his answers yesterday were nonsense. Let's play a few more pieces of audio of Nick Nurse I don't know, dancing with some of these answers about Joel. Here's Nick Nurse yesterday.
And I guess just for clarification with Joel's plan, while there hasn't been a setback, and this has been part of the plan, for clarification, is he injured, or is this more a long-term preventative thing with Joel?
This is getting him to where he needs to be to get him on the court.
I just don't like it, because earlier, we played this audio earlier, Nick Nurse had said there's no setback. That's why when the question's asked by Dave Uram, he says, okay, you're saying no setback. Then, injury or long-term? Then just say it's long-term.
Yeah.
But because he doesn't say that, it tells me, ding, 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 there is a debilitating situation with his knee, whether it is a, quote, new injury or just the continuation of a knee that no longer will be great. This is what you got. I mean,
Joe, they wouldn't give him that new deal if there was a debilitating.
Oh, yeah. Ross.
They would?
Yeah. They're trying to get an arena.
Yep.
They're trying to, you know, that is a big one. They're trying.
Interesting.
Ross, think of it
so
this
you
way.
Think they just doled that out.
Yeah. Because Ross, think of it.
Which they didn't have to do.
They didn't have to do.
A guy with a debilitating knee.
Yep. And Ross, I'll put it this way.
Well, no, we know it's not debilitating because he just helped Team USA win a gold medal.
No,
I know,
but he
people
also
had issue with.
But he
but
also
like, we saw him play basketball.
He played great in the semifinal game. He was a disaster in the finals. They benched him for an entire game.
He was the reason they won the semifinals.
I know that, but in the finals, he was horrendous.
Right. I'm saying the word debilitating is aggressive.
Well, debilitating means sometimes you answer the bell and sometimes you don't, and not answering the bell is increasing as time goes
on. He's chronically unhealthy.
Chronic,
can we all agree on that?
Yeah. Chronic.
I mean, look at Britney.
We literally dance around the fact that this guy is fragile as a piece of glass. He's chronically hurt.
You think if he could play, he would?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say it again?
I believe in an opener.
Yep.
If you could play, you would.
I'm with
I do too.
John.
I agree,
there's
John.
There's no doubt in my mind.
I agree.
If you were capable of playing, he'd be out.
And Ross, that's why when the coach Nick Nurse doesn't say yes, he's injured, I don't believe him.
But Joe, there's a difference between the guy is never healthy, the guy gets hurt a lot, and saying he has like a chronic arthritic condition, debilitating condition in his knee. Debilitating means like you've got a condition in your knee that's getting worse and worse. That would be very concerning.
Yeah, that would be Chase Utley, Brandon Roy. There have been examples. I get it. I hear you. But I mean, look.
Let's hope it's not.
He's had several meniscus repairs, correct? Right?
I believe so. Well, I don't know which knee.
That's the thing.
It doesn't get better.
Last year, we were told that there was something in the postseason.
The flap
this
thing.
Was
they
two
shaved,
years
shaved
ago.
The flap, whatever that was. Remember that thing?
There have been multiple times where there was something shaved, and then there was. I was expecting to hear about another procedure in an off season. There was an off season when I didn't hear about a procedure yet. And this was last year, and he came back, and he was playing, and everything was fine. And so I just assumed, okay, good.
Well, listen,
whatever it wasn't a big deal. A big deal, I guess.
And let's remember, I'm sorry, Ross. Give me one second. In the playoffs, sometimes he was great, sometimes he wasn't. I mean, that's my fear that he just won't be able to be consistently great, and then therefore it's hard to win enough games to have a good seed, and blah 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 blah.
I think that's what we've learned. That unfortunately. We've learned he can't be consistent enough to be that guy, the guy that wins.
Well, I think that's what this is
when
all
it matters.
About.
I agree with
I
that.
I think that's what they're trying to do because he hasn't been consistent because of his health. For the most part, he also hasn't really had a great team surrounding him, especially last year.
Well, here's another part of all this. So let's just say he plays 40 games. I think we would probably all acknowledge that's a reasonable possibility. Only 40 games. So is he, like, constantly not in proper shape because he's not playing enough cardiovascularly?
Probably.
And then you have that issue?
Well, that's what we've seen when
it depends when those 40 games are dispersed. If he plays 40 games in 60 or what, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. But it's like you have to triage him. You know when a person's in a horrible...
Yes, you do.
Horrible,
but that's the point. Like, we knew this. I don't understand why this is so shocking. Embiid, to Rhea's point, has yet to be healthy through a season ever in his life.
My point isn't to shock. And here's my two main points. One, incredibly demoralizing. Two, organization not handling it the right way.
Organization absolutely not handling it the right way. The demoralizing part, like, I expected this. Like, this is so not surprising.
But wouldn't you, but James, wouldn't you say July 1st that you expected Joel Embiid would play the first game of the season?
No question.
Sure, but like again, I don't.
The difference here is once upon a we hear stories about like Wilt Chamberlain. He could beat everyone in 100 meters.
This is a different thing. What are you talking about? Joel Embiid is who he is. Accept it. You got to accept who he is, John.
No, I hear that.
I want him to be our superstar, and there are superstars out there.
Like who?
Like Wilt Chamberlain.
Like Jokic.
You know
what plays?
Like Giannis.
Jokic.
Like
Jokic. Sure.
Jokic doesn't have it. Again, we are asking him to be something that we know he is not. He is not. He will never be healthy.
You're right.
He will never be fully healthy the way we want him to. We have to accept who he is and what he is.
But you also have to look at the other stars around the league. Like, it is, Jokic is rare in that he is healthy for the most part. Jimmy Butler never plays most games
Greek
throughout
freak.
The regular
Greek Freak's missed time.
Season. Greek Freak.
Yeah.
They all do. Jokic is the exception, not the rule. Yeah.
Right. So it does happen across the league. It's
Anthony
not
Davis.
Just Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I think we just focus on that.
Ross, what was the point? I cut you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, what Rhea said about multiple meniscus.
He's had two in his left and one in his right.
Yeah, so your meniscus and your cartilage, as John knows, that's what provides the cushion for your knee. You know, that's like the shock absorbers. So if he's had multiple meniscus in both knees, now I'm bummed out. Now he probably does have a debilitating condition in his knee. If he's had two meniscus in one knee, that's a lot of your shock absorbers there. That's not good.
You keep trimming it, eventually there'll be nothing left.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Rhea, do you remember what the Chase Utley situation was?
Yeah, I
don't.
What
was it?
Chondromalacia.
What does that mean?
So it's underneath your kneecap. And it just causes like a severe, like I had mine shaved when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I was able to run. I was a runner. And they say when you're younger, it just, you know, it heals a lot better. So when I heard he had,
isn't that also called patellofemoral syndrome? It's like your patella.
Yeah. That I was just always called chondromalacia.
Doctor.
You know, you can sometimes you get surgery, sometimes you can't, you don't have to get it, but it just causes pain. I mean, it's just, it's kind of a, it's not a horrible pain, but it's a chronic pain.
Because Chase Utley went from being, I think it's very fair to say, in that 5 or 6 year stretch, one of the 10 best players in baseball to like one of the 100 best players in baseball.
And I was angry with him.
It was a tremendous difference.
Because he didn't let the team know. Remember, he showed up at spring training, and I think none of them were aware of
it. I vaguely do remember that.
What? We were there.
Yeah,
and I remember everybody had kind of stunned looks.
He was never the same.
Never the same.
All right, Ross, nice work, bud. We'll talk. You know, probably a little bit more Eagles next week. They going to beat Cincy, or let me ask you this question this way: how good is Cincinnati now?
I think they're very good. Yeah, I mean, they got off to a slow start like they do every year, but the whole year, Burrow has been fantastic. Their defense was atrocious the first 5 games. The last 2 games, their defense has been awesome. This is going to be a really tough test for the Eagles. Should
can
be
we run
awesome
it on
game.
Them, Ross?
They're going to need to try. Yeah, I think they can. I think they can if they stay committed to it, which they should. Because they didn't really do anything by way of designed Hurts runs last week, and they still ran it that successfully.
All right, Ross, good work. But everyone follow Ross at Ross Tucker NFL and, of course, the Ross Report. Thank you, Ross.
All right, see you guys. Have a great week.
Good stuff.
Thanks,
bud.
Ross.
All right, let's listen to one more thing of Nick Nurse and then right back to the phones, because as we keep playing all this audio, this was, I thought, another really good question. And, you know, again, I just don't like the answers.
Nick, I think to that point, when people hear you guys have a plan, they think of those things like not playing back-to-backs, resting in the middle of the season. But without any kind of setback, and with saying he's on schedule throughout the preseason, how do we square that he's not ready to just play games? Just trying to figure out. Because it's not like the regular season opener snuck up on you guys.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to you, right? He's in practice. He's looking good. He's progressing. He's not quite ready yet. He'll be ready pretty soon. I don't know what else to say to you. Okay?
I don't know what you don't know about what to say. You're telling us he's not injured, and you're telling us he's not playing. Square
it. So what is it? doesn't feel like playing?
Yeah, like,
I mean, that's,
well, don't you think he wants to be able to provide this information?
Oh, Nick Nurse?
No. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's
don't you think Nick is dying for this info also?
Well, he knows the info.
I feel sorry for him. Like, he's a sympathetic figure right here, sort of.
He can handle it better, man. There's ways to answer. Howie Roseman would not answer that question that way. He wouldn't. Rob Thompson would not answer that question that way.
NFL is different than the NBA.
Well, there is a different thing with stars and managing egos.
They just don't talk about the injuries.
But, you know, Rhea, here's what I'll equate it to. James, some of you think this is a reasonable comparison. So I was at the game, it was probably at this point close to 10 years ago, when the Sixers and the Kings were about to play a game.
And, oh, yeah.
Okay, you know where
the
I'm going.
The floor.
Yeah, the floor. And it becomes very obvious.
Was it DeMarcus Cousins?
DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah. All right, so just time capsule here to take people back. Sixers about to play a DeMarcus Cousins Kings team. It's very, very obvious that the floor is not going to be ready for the tip-off. Let's just say it's 7:10. Floor can't be ready because they have an issue with the flyers from, I guess, the prior night.
Condensation
and the ice, and the ice is coming through the floor. Yeah. And it's like 6:30, 6:40. 6:50, 7 o'clock, and everybody sitting in the stands knows about this for two reasons. One, we can see with our own eyes that things aren't right.
Oh, you were there. You were at the game.
Right. I'm at the game. But two, all the reporters, and I wasn't a reporter in this case. I'm just sitting there with a buddy, you know, getting ready to watch a game. All the reporters, hardcore Sixers beat reporters, are all putting out on Twitter, yeah, this game's not going to start on time. Like, there's no way it's going to start on time. And the Sixers were the only entity that wouldn't admit it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, like, I mean, I don't want to say the precise time because I don't know it, but I'll just say really close to 7:10, where they're like, game's not going to start on time. We all knew it for an hour. That's the analogy I'll give you with this one. Just be upfront with people. If you know that Joel Embiid, if you really knew 5 days ago.
And they
which
did.
They he definitely was, did.
Of course
I
they
mean,
knew.
I mean, they've known for weeks, if
of
I had to guess.
Of course they knew. And that's why I lose respect for them even more as an organization.
Did you have, as an forgetting the Embiid part of this and stuff, did you, because honestly, you say you lost respect for the organization. I don't have any. Like, I don't have any respect for this organization. Yeah. Like, Daryl Morey, I have some respect for. Like, I don't, you know, he isn't.
Yeah.
But, like, I as an organization, from Josh Harris
know,
and all that, like, I have
I
no respect for them. It
here's
is what it is.
Here's the sad thing. There's a lot of, so those of us that we're in this industry in particular. We know people that are, let's call
them
a
lot of good people
staffers.
Work there. Yeah.
There's a lot of great people.
There's
a lot of great people. And I feel bad sometimes painting with a brush. It's like it wipes them all.
No, that's fair. But
you know what I mean?
I do. But, you know, you can, I mean, in terms of the stuff that affects the everyday fan, like, I don't know how you could have.
And that's why I use the term adult. Someone's got to be an adult. What I mean is common sense, courage, communication. You know, like, be an adult. Someone be an adult and step up as a leader and just square it with the fan base. And that's why we are in a position to ask you a Twitter poll question of the day today, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, with Armin and the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. That's why we ask you this question. Do you think the Sixers knew prior to yesterday that Joel Embiid would miss tonight's season opening game? Remember, they announced yesterday he's not only missing tonight, he's missing the first week. I mean, how in the world could they not know yesterday that he's not going to play, you know, let's say 2 nights ago? How could they not announce it previously if they knew he's going to miss the whole first week, and they say that yesterday around 11 o'clock or whatever? I mean, come on.
And what do you expect if you're going to say, hey, this is going to be a week right out the gates? What are the odds that gets extended? I mean, I think it's all but certain.
I think it's really good.
We're saying straight out the gates, it's three games. Really?
Yeah.
Just three games?
Well, that's where if you read between the lines of what got put out there yesterday, they did not say he's missing three games. He will play game four.
Right.
They didn't say that.
Joe, don't you fully expect an NBA insider tweet, say, by Shams or, you know, Brian Windhorst or Ramona Shelburne, mm-hmm. she's always got something out of the NBA camp, sometime over the next 24 hours, that he's got an injury? This is a playbook that has been followed
by
them.
But hold on, Rhea, I get it, but that would, so you think they just sent their coach out there to say stuff and then it makes it look like he was lying immediately?
I think they might have the charade go on longer.
Because Nick Nurse said he is not hurt.
But what I'm saying,
and
James,
then it would be a lie, like
James,
immediate.
What I'm saying is there's always somebody who knows. Of the people who know, there's probably about 10 of them. And one of them will say something to someone, and it'll get out there.
Well, that's probably intentionally also. No, I agree with you.
But
I guess,
then you would tell Nick Nurse and go out there and say he's not hurt, and then a few days later it comes out he's hurt, and you just bury your coach?
Ray, the reason I hesitated when you asked that, I could see it coming. My instincts, it's not the next 24 hours. It's
48?
I don't know. They play this at, more like
Friday,
like the third game, John.
Yeah.
Like, you referenced the third game. Like, more like when they play the third game, and then if he's not ready for the fourth game, then you kind of get... Because they've kind of bought themselves a few days here.
I'll redo this. 1 o'clock Sunday is the Eagles are getting ready to play the Bengals.
Well, remember when the news came out on a Friday? It was either a Friday or Saturday night after what would have been Joel's first season that he was going to miss the second season. Yeah. It was a joke.
Because he didn't rehab properly.
That's correct. And they chose to get that out there through a reporter. I forget. I was in Tomatoes down in, what is that, Devin? Margate or Ventnor?
Margate? Margate. That's in Margate.
I was in Tomatoes. I was in a bathroom in Tomatoes.
Oh, you remember that
sounds
the exact
so bizarre.
Oh, I remember
but that
it well.
Out. Joe in a bathroom?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Was it a scheduled
absolutely
bathroom?
Now I'm certain it was.
Must have had a twist.
It wasn't that type, okay? And I went ballistic.
On
my phone with my friends. Yeah. Like, he's really going to miss a whole nother year?
Yeah.
And, of course, you realize quickly, they've put this out on a Friday or Saturday night.
Yeah.
And that's where, when I say losing respect for them, or James, to your point, it seems like you've lost almost all. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we also have a second Twitter poll question, which makes us sad to ask. Because we want to be excited, and we want everyone to be excited for the Sixers. But we'll ask you this question. What's your level of excitement for the start of the Sixers season? Very excited, mildly excited, not excited. I'll say I am mildly excited because I do love basketball. I do love the Sixers. You know, I do want to see Tyrese Maxey in year whatever it is, maybe
that's
five.
That's the shame. That kid's so much fun to watch.
I know.
Can you imagine how much better he might make himself? Yeah. Like,
I know.
We know how
another
hard
jump
he works. It's been 5 a.m., an entire offseason of him getting in there and doing two-a-days on his own.
Look, the next step for him, and I tend to think he won't get there, but like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander went from being a top 20 player to like a top 5 player.
Yeah.
So maybe he can do that. Maybe.
I wouldn't put it past him.
It's
I
not
believe
impossible.
In his work ethic at the very least. I believe that's the kind of work ethic you need to be the greatest.
Yeah.
Let's see how far he can take.
We've also seen him take massive leaps already.
I know.
No
question. No
doubt.
I do think in the grand scheme of trying to be a top 5 player, I think his height will hurt him.
I think it's really hard.
Allen Iverson and Isaiah Thomas, they are.
You got to be special.
You got to be really special to be that small and be that great. And AI and Isaiah are two of the only guys to kind of do it. 215.